Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them.
Good to be with you tonight. We often emphasize the fact that there are false teachers in the world. And there are several passages that indicate that that has always been the case, and then that it will always be the case. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 17, Paul said, "We're not like the many who corrupt the word of God." That, of course, is in the beginning of the church's history. And so we recognize that even then there were false teachers in the world. Then in 1 John chapter 4 and at verse 1, it says again, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." And so the first part of that, many false prophets or false teachers have gone out into the world. Then we'll not read it now, but 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter emphasizes the fact that that will always be the case, that we will always have false teachers among us. So that is a sad reality, of course. That isn't something that we should be happy about. Certainly it saddens us. We wish that everyone taught the truth, but that is not the case. The question that I want to raise tonight, in view of the fact that there are so many false teachers and always have been, is what constitutes a false teacher? And we're going to look at five things. It's not an exhaustive list by any means, but five things that will tell us for sure that an individual is a false teacher. Before we do that, I want to emphasize two extremes that we probably ought to avoid. Number one, we shouldn't conclude that every time a preacher or teacher is wrong, that all of a sudden he is automatically a false teacher. I think most of us who preach on a regular basis or teach on a regular basis would admit that we have gotten things wrong over the years. And even still, for me, there are certain passages and certain books of the Bible that certainly I'm unsure about. But I understand that if anyone will teach through the book of Romans or something like that, or maybe teach the book of Daniel or even the book of Revelation, that then most teachers would admit that I could have gotten something wrong with regard to those kind of books. And we don't want to, again, immediately conclude that someone is a false teacher because he makes a mistake in his interpretation of a particular passage of Scripture. The other extreme, though, and this sort of circle was circulated among us maybe 10 years ago, time gets away, maybe 15 years ago, or so. It was being spread abroad by very prominent brethren that the only way that a man could be a false teacher is if he had false character. And that if an individual was sincere and honest, that regardless of what he was teaching, he was not a false teacher. And usually 2 Peter chapter 2 would be quoted. And if you turn over there to 2 Peter chapter 2, you see a list that is given of the characteristics of some of the false teachers that were prevalent at that day. And beginning at verse 10, it says, "And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. bold and willful. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. And you just read down through there. You like at verse 14, it says they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls and so on. We don't have time to read all of that here tonight. But it's a terrible description of some of the false teachers of that day. And so some brethren came along and said, unless an individual has false character like that and can pretty much be described by the characteristics of 2 Peter chapter 2, then he is not a false teacher. Well, if you read just even the little bit that we've read, but you go back and read the whole context there and you see more terrible things said about some of the false teachers that existed there in the first century, and you quickly realize that there's not too many individuals today who could be described by all of that. Like Billy Graham wouldn't be a false teacher if he had to have that kind of character. I don't know anything about Billy Graham, his real personal life and that sort of thing, but he couldn't be described by these kind of things. And in fact, that would mean that probably over half of the TV evangelists today wouldn't really be false teachers because they don't really fall into the category of some of these characteristics. And so that was an extreme. And it was an extreme to justify fellowship with those who were teaching false doctrine among us. So that's an extreme that we want to avoid. So those two things, you don't want to automatically, just because a preacher gets something wrong, just quickly mark him and set him aside and say that he's now useless in the kingdom of God. Nor do you want to conclude that a person has to be just a terrible individual with bad character and insincere in order to be a false teacher. Those two extremes have to be avoided. Well, let's look at five things. Again, this is not an exhaustive list by any means. You could probably think of some other things, but five things that definitely make an individual a false teacher. Number one, when an individual teaches something that leads to the damnation of someone's soul, he is a false teacher. Like, it doesn't matter what other circumstances you can set forth. If I teach something that, if you apply it to your life, will cause you to spend eternity in a devil's hell, I'm a false teacher. It doesn't matter if I'm sincere and honest. It doesn't matter if my character is good. If I teach something that leads people to lose their fellowship with God, then I'm a false teacher. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, I believe it is, you remember that he said, if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. And so we recognize that an individual that is going to lead someone astray is a false teacher. And I know for a fact that there are many individuals in the religious world today that don't mean to do that. They don't have any kind of sinister attitude behind them or motive behind them, but they lead people away from God. That makes them false teachers. And again, it doesn't matter what the circumstances or the situation may be. Hymenaeus and Philetus in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you remember they were teaching a false doctrine that the resurrection had passed already. And the Bible says, and the King James, it says, that they overthrew the faith of some. I don't know exactly how all of that happened. Probably there were some individuals who heard that false teaching and concluded, if we have already missed the resurrection, then why are we going through any of this? And they probably just went back to the world. But it specifically said they overthrew the faith of some. Hymenaeus and Philetus were false teachers. And so number one, if a teacher or preacher teaches or preaches something that leads people to hell, that individual is a false teacher. Number two, if an individual in any way perverts the gospel of Christ, he is a false teacher. You might remember, of course, a familiar passage with regard to that. Galatians chapter 1, Paul warned individuals about that very thing. In Galatians chapter 1 and at verse 6, Paul writes this. He said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of God and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Why? Because he's a false teacher. And again, he's teaching something that obviously, if people buy into it and believe it, will lead them away from God because it's not the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can save anyone is the real gospel. The gospel of Christ. And so if a preacher comes along and somehow distorts that, he's a false teacher. In Paul's day, that had to do with those who were teaching that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. They were perverting, distorting the gospel. They were false teachers. Judaizing teachers, we sometimes refer to them as. But that's not the only way. It wasn't even the only way in the first century that individuals were doing. That's what Paul was dealing with in the book of Galatians. But today, when people come along and say, you don't have to be baptized, you're saved by faith only, they are corrupting the word of God, distorting the gospel, perverting the gospel. They are false teachers. Or when someone comes along and says that Jesus is not divine, who they deny the deity of Christ, where if people believe that, they will be lost. And that's a corruption of the gospel of Christ. Or when people come along and say, in order to be saved, you somehow have to have a miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit has to work on your heart even for you to believe the gospel of Christ. That's a distortion of the gospel. Those who teach that are false teachers. And so when a person perverts the gospel, again, it doesn't matter how sincere he is. It doesn't matter that he has an honest character. If he perverts the gospel of Christ or she perverts the gospel of Christ, then they are false teachers. Here's a third one. When an individual teaches something contrary to the doctrine of Christ that causes division in a local church, that person is a false teacher. Look at what Paul says over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and beginning at verse 17, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, he says. Again, the King James, I believe, says, mark them. Like, individuals like that are dangerous in the church. And remember now, there have always been false teachers. There have always been in local churches of Christ individuals who could be described by this here in Romans chapter 16. They're not to be ignored. They're to be marked. Avoid them. And these are individuals, again, that are causing division in the church. One thing that God wants us to be in Christ is united, speaking the same things, being of the same mind. When someone comes along and teaches something contrary to the doctrine of Christ and it divides the church, that person will have to pay a price for that if he doesn't repent because he's a false teacher. And that has happened many times. See, God, of course, views the church as being holy. The church, obviously, is very important to Christ. And every preacher should be on guard against teaching something that's going to do harm to the church. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and at verse 16, Paul says, do you not know that you are God's temple? Now, in chapter 6, he's going to use that same terminology, the illustration of a temple in regard to the individual Christian. Here, he's talking about the church at Corinth. The church is also the temple of God. And that's what he's talking about here. And so he says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. God will destroy him. Why? He's a false teacher. He's doing harm to the cause of Christ, destroying the church. And God warns individuals about that. Those of us who are gospel preachers, or those of you who teach in a Bible class or whatever the case may be, we have to be very careful about that, about destroying God's temple. But those who do so are false teachers. They are to be marked. They are to be avoided. A fourth category that we might set forth are those who teach a false doctrine and strive to draw disciples after themselves. And keep in mind that, again, in the example that we gave just a moment ago, with regard to teaching something contrary that divides the church, it really doesn't matter in that scenario if souls are lost or not. Now, in many cases, souls are lost. But even if that's not the case, if an individual is just doing damage to the church, then God views him as a false teacher and should be marked. But when someone comes along and tries to draw disciples after himself, we're all familiar with the passage that was read for us in our hearing here, the scripture reading for tonight. Turn back over to Acts chapter 20. And this is the very thing that Paul teaches us in this particular passage. Acts chapter 20 and beginning at verse 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 28, I'm sorry. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. He says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now watch this. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. That means something contrary to the gospel or doctrine of Christ. They're speaking twisted things, and they do it with a motive. What are they doing? To draw away disciples after them. And he tells them to be alert. And so when an individual comes along and he does that, his whole goal is to draw disciples after him. And listen again, it doesn't have to necessarily be a sinister thing. And I've seen individuals in the church do that, because they have felt enlightened and they want to enlighten the brotherhood, particularly the local church where they are members. They sort of want to straighten everybody out in the church. And so they really believe that they have come across some nugget of truth that all the rest of us have somehow missed. And so they're sincere, but they attempt to draw disciples after themselves. And sometimes they do it. It might be a preacher and behind the pulpit. It might be a teacher in a classroom. Or it may come in a different way. I think I have suggested to you before in various lessons that when we lived in Phoenix, Arizona, there was a fellow who just was convinced that Jesus was not divine. And he started to send letters out to the entire congregation. Well, to a large portion of the congregation. I know we got a letter of trying to convince us that Jesus was not divine. He was trying to draw disciples after himself. He was a false teacher. And I've been in that sort of situation more than once when individuals have tried to do that very thing. And so it doesn't matter if they succeed in that or not. And once again, their attitude doesn't matter. And they don't necessarily have to have just a terrible character about them. They might be pretty good men living a pretty honest life, but they're trying to draw disciples after them, after themselves, and they are false teachers. And so again, Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, be alert. And certainly we all should be alert with regard to that. Don't buy into that. If you're getting some kind of secret correspondence from a member, whether it's through a letter or calling you on the phone, and they're trying to get you on their side, so to speak, a red flag should go up. And that has happened, of course, has happened in local congregations. Obviously, it was something Paul was worried about even back in the first century. The fifth way a person might become a false teacher is when he persists in some kind of false doctrine. Again, I think all of us who have been preachers have been wrong on occasion. In fact, I know for a fact there's been at least a few times since I've been here with you that I've had members pull me aside and say, you know, have you thought about this? And I realize I've gotten something wrong. But when a man is so stubborn and filled with so much pride that he won't listen to anyone else, and so he's teaching something false and he won't let go of it and he persists in it and teaching it over and over again, then he becomes a false teacher. Not necessarily the first time he gets something wrong, but when he persists in it. And what that teaches us as preachers and as teachers is that we can't be filled with pride. And we have to realize that we can make mistakes and we can get things wrong and listen to other people when they come to us with the Word of God, not with opinions. Listen, none of us who are preachers, we don't want people flooding us with personal opinions and that sort of thing. But if I've gotten something wrong, I want you to come to me with an open Bible and reason with me from a particular text and show me where I'm wrong. And a preacher who is so filled with pride that he won't even listen will probably end up being a false teacher. Probably end up teaching something that will cause individuals to be lost or divide the church or cause some kind of havoc in some way. I think about Apollos. You remember when Priscilla and Aquila went to him. He was teaching only the baptism of John because that's all he knew. He is commended as an individual who was mighty in the Scriptures, but that's all he knew. And so when these two good disciples came to him, they reasoned with him, and he listened, and he changed, and he avoided being a false teacher. But what if Apollos would have said, I don't have to listen to you, and he continued to preach only the baptism of John? He would have been a false teacher, wouldn't he? And so when a preacher persists in some kind of false doctrine, then he becomes a false teacher. Now, you could probably add to that list. Those are five things that reveal individuals as being false teachers. And again, it doesn't matter what their character is, how honest they are, or how sincere they might be. But false teachers have always been in the world. We don't want to be naive here at Brown Street to think that no one will ever creep in and try to teach some kind of false doctrine. The elders have to be alert and be watchful, but so do all of us. We all have to keep our eyes open because churches, local churches, can be destroyed. The temple of God, from that standpoint, can be destroyed. And so we have to be alert, but we don't want to overreact and we don't want to underreact. We need to recognize when a false teacher is really a false teacher and needs to be marked. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe you have heard some perverted version of the gospel. Maybe you've been taught that you can be saved by faith alone. Or maybe you thought that you simply said the sinner's prayer and at that particular moment somehow Christ entered into your heart and you were saved. All of that is a perversion of the truth. If you want to be a Christian, you have to do what Jesus said. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what you have to do. That's the real gospel. That's the gospel that will save you. If you believe that Jesus is that Christ, that he's the Son of the living God, and you're willing to be baptized according to the Word of God in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, Acts 2 at verse 38, you will be saved. Do you want to obey the gospel and become a child of God? Why not now? You may not have tomorrow. You have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.